Welcome to today's edition of the Blazing Grace Show with Jason Graves and Mike Janung. Blazing Grace covers blazing issues with grace-filled answers. Here are your hosts, Jason and Mike.
Is it possible to come out of female same-gender attractions? Well, we're going to talk about that today. Coming back again with our guest, Melissa Freirier from Focus on the Family. Welcome back, Melissa.
Thank you.
Yes, and if you didn't hear last week, you missed out. We heard Melissa's testimony about coming out of same-gender attractions. And Mike, we're going to hear a little bit more about her organization, Love One Out, and Focus on the Family today, a ministry of focus. If you want more information, we're going to talk about their conference schedule here. Tune in later in the program. We'll give you that information. But Melissa, you know, you've come out of the lifestyle, as they've called it. You've identified the roots of different family dynamics in your past and abuse issues in your past that sort of led to some of these choices. And you talked about how when you were in the lifestyle, you were it wasn't something that you chose. In the truest sense of the word choosing, but that you were unaware, unable, and unwilling. And so I'm just wondering, as we get into kind of talking about Love One Out and your mission and your vision there, who are the kind of people that you think that could relate with you in your story that would be coming and would want to see show up at one of these Love One Out events?
Certainly to begin by honoring the Lord with how faithful He has been with the Love One Out Conference. That Jason and Mike, amazingly, we're in our ninth year with this event. It started in 1998. Not only are we national, but now we've gone internationally with the conference. And you all know, oftentimes an event might plateau after a few years and that traditional bell-shaped curve. And here we are in our ninth year. Over the past couple of years, attendance is up by almost 50%. The demand is such we have to schedule now a couple of years, a year or two in advance. And amazing to see what God's done with the event. And really, ideally, we want to try to do two things at Love One Out. At least half of the attendees are families and friends who have someone, a loved one who's living homosexually. So that is really why the conference was created, to help meet their needs.
Right.
How do Christian families continue to uphold the biblical view on sexuality and respect and love and reach out with compassion to their loved one who's living homosexually? So our mantra is balancing truth and grace. Well, we also want to help men and women who are on their own journeys of overcoming homosexuality or lesbianism or questioning whether maybe they want to overcome that identity and that struggle. So we're offering help to families and hope to men and women who themselves might have this struggle.
Right. And if you don't know, Love One Out, and by the way, that's spelled Love, W-O-N, Out, and you can find them on the web at loveoneout.com, is a dynamic one-day conference on homosexuality that balances, as Melissa said, truth and love with grace and compassion. And so they're going around the country, and they're doing these conferences. And, you know, Melissa, I've been to one of these conferences. I went to, as you know, Seattle back in, I think it was even 98. And I heard Joe Nicolosi and Joe Dallas, some of the sort of heroes of our little world here of doing this ministry. And, you know, very powerful conferences. And I was just struck by the authenticity of people sharing their story. And I'll never forget Amy Tracy, I believe, was sharing at the conference. And if you don't know Amy, what an amazing story.
Yes.
Former National Organization of Women leader and sort of extreme activist when it comes to, you know, lesbianism and whatnot. And just to see how God had transformed her life and very powerful, touched my life, helped me be really open about what I was dealing with my own same gender struggle and those issues, and sort of set me free that way. And you know, so set the scene when I'm considering coming to Love One Out. What can I expect? Because I mean, come on, if you're dealing with same gender attractions, the last thing you want to be is identified with that. If you're, you know, maybe in the church, or if you're just not really comfortable being open about that yet. So set the scene. What can people expect?
And for a lot of folks, it is the first step as a family member. Maybe they've taken that in some ways publicly recognizes that this issue is hitting close to home, or certainly someone who's on their own journey. And to encourage the listeners that it's so blanketed in grace. And we average 1,000 people at every event. So you know you're not alone. And
right.
that's I think that's part of the encouragement. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the day, we've tried to set up different tracks to meet each audience need. Mm-hmm. So there are specific tracks through the day for the family members and friends. Mm-hmm. And some of the plenary sessions would apply to someone on their own journey as well, in that in the morning we address, okay, what would be some of the contributing factors that may play into some individuals a struggle with same-sex attraction. We do that for men and women. And then, as a lot of us have this history, mm-hmm. we're able to share our own stories. And we work closely with Exodus International, mm-hmm. so their leaders are there as well. Well, then we have tracks throughout the day that help family members from there how to respond. For example, one of the workshops is Someone I Love is Gay, and mm-hmm. and helping to better equip them with how do you continue to respond in a Christ-like mm-hmm. way, which would not affirm, obviously, right. same-sex behavior.
Yeah.
Well, we have tracks for overcomers as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a track for youth. We have an increase in the number of young people in their teens and early 20s who are coming. So we have breakouts just for them throughout the day, and they're able to stay together and open up as the day moves forward.
Wow.
A track just for youth leaders, mm-hmm. again, because the issue is ever increasing among young people.
Mm-hmm.
And there are policy issues. People are concerned about marriage, and they want to know how do I respond as a Christian in the culture.
Right.
And one of the workshops, for example, is Straight Thinking on Gay Marriage that Dr. Huh. Bill Meyer with Focus on the Family does.
Right.
So we're trying to, again, meet the needs of and answer the questions and address the issues of all those different audiences who
mm-hmm.
attend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned the youth, and even at the junior high level, sometimes even earlier now in the public school systems, they're teaching that homosexuality is a valid alternative lifestyle. And to me, that real tender and critical age we need to reach people with the truth is at that age. What can the church at large do in this issue?
And Mike, you're right. This is a critical concern that, regrettably, I think a lot of Christians are unaware of. It's not just that it may be in elementary schools. It already is. And I want to be careful in separating an agenda from people, because
mm-hmm.
we, first and foremost, of caring for people
right.
and that they would have the opportunity to hear the gospel and
mm-hmm.
make a personal decision for Christ as their Savior and Lord.
Right.
And separating people from the issues, there is a genuine agenda,
mm-hmm.
which is twofold: to normalize homosexuality and, probably even more concerning, to silence opposing viewpoints,
right.
meaning the Christian worldview. And Christians, especially Christian parents, absolutely need to be involved with what's happening in their child's school. And I know we're limited in our conversation today, but they could contact us at Focus on the Family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have resources, suggestions, guides.
Mm-hmm.
There are other Christian organizations with whom we work who are gifted strategically and
right.
and being able to work on local levels of what parents can do, what should they look for,
mm-hmm.
Fighting for equal access,
mm-hmm.
Fighting for truth and accurate information. We're not shocked so much anymore, but the information in the textbooks is wrong.
Right.
And
right.
if we had a math book that said 1 + 1 = 3,
right.
well, we would point that out.
Right. Yeah.
From a factual perspective, it's wrong. And the information in textbooks about yeah. homosexuality is factually wrong.
Right.
So
right.
being able to counter that. And then equal access.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're going to talk about homosexuality in the school system, well, there's another side to this story.
Right.
And there is a biblical worldview. There are men and women who, Jason, we know, both of us, that we've come out of this type of identity struggle, and that we deserve a voice in that arena as well.
Right, right.
Well, but wouldn't we want to get at the junior high level in churches and talk more clearly about something like this? I mean, because you're talking about kind of an outside the church, parachurch ministry thing, but in my heart is that every church needs to be aware of these issues, and that there's things we can all do, because we can't all rely on Focus on the Family or Love One Out, so what could we do at the junior high level in our churches to address this?
And you're, Mike, that's wonderful. You're right. That's where it should begin with our families, and mm-hmm. then second, equally important in our churches. And mm-hmm. you know, the church has run from the word sex,
right.
and much to our detriment, obviously. And that
yeah.
we, I'm so encouraged because I see. I mean, having been in this area of ministry for over a decade now, I'm so encouraged with what the church is doing, universal.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously so much that we need to do. So.
Right.
Number one, let's begin to talk about sex.
Right. It's just talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just being real. We're having a plain conversation just like this. I mean, Melissa, I'm sure you would believe that the hardest show for us to put together is a panel of pastors to talk about sexual addiction issues and recovery, to talk about biblical sexuality. If you're a pastor out there today, call us, email us, let us know you're out there. We would love to have you on the show to talk about this so that we can start to stem the tide and even turn it to where it's a normal thing to talk about healthy sexuality,
yes.
You know, in the church. That's really, really important. We're meeting with Melissa Freier, the head of the gender issues department at Focus on the Family and the leader of the Love One Out conference. And just to give you some information, if you'd like to be at a Love One Out conference, here's a couple dates for you. In August, they're going to be in Portland, Oregon at City Bible Church. In October, they're going to be out in Orange County at Mariners Church, a great church in Orange County, I might add. And that's Irvine, California. And then out in November in Indianapolis at Traders Point Christian Church. So to register and obtain a detailed schedule of classes for conferences, call Focus toll-free at 800-A-FAMILY. That's 800-232-6459. And my goodness, Melissa, the lineup of speakers that you have at this conference is formidable. Nancy Hayes, many of you know mm-hmm. Ann Hayes, who is formerly connected with Ellen DeGeneres, and this is Ann's mother, Nancy, delightful woman. Got to meet her at Exodus a couple years ago, and she has an incredible story
yes.
of just sort of a life surrounded by homosexuality. Her husband, her daughter, just amazing. Joe Dallas, coincidentally, my former counselor, love the man
yes.
to death. You know, of course, your old boss, Mike Haley, and
yes.
You know, Joe Nicolosi, some of the heroes, former Blazing Grace guest, Alan Chambers, the head of Exodus International. So many quality people sharing their stories and good information that we just don't hear out there very often. And I want to kind of talk about, let's play devil's advocate. I'm the person on the other side of the fence that's saying, come on, Melissa. You know, you're denying a piece of who you are here. You're not really willing to admit that this is just, you know, this is the way you were born. Can you just speak to the hearts of those people mm-hmm. and share where you're coming from on that?
And I understand that position because mm-hmm. that's where I was mm-hmm. Years ago when I was beginning to struggle with my sexual identity as a mm-hmm. young person, and then certainly mm-hmm. when I lived actively homosexually for a decade, that I assumed that I'd been born that gay, mm-hmm. Been born gay. Well, if you haven't read the research, number one, you need to read the research
right.
and read what the studies actually say and mm-hmm. what the gay researchers themselves say. Simon LeVay and Dean mm-hmm. Hamer and Bailey and Pollard themselves say, we never discovered a gay gene. And
right.
that's the biggest misrepresentation of our mm-hmm. research in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to look at what have been factors for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized that this was not genetic, just this amazing hope that overwhelmed me because it was like, well, no, this is something that could be overcome. And
right.
and I was beginning to hear the testimonies of dozens and then hundreds. Mm-hmm. And again, I've been in this area of ministry for over a decade now, so
right.
now I literally know thousands of people,
right.
thousands and thousands for whom that same hope is true in their
mm-hmm.
lives as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the most difficult things individuals will ever overcome. I think any sexually related addiction, same sex or opposite sex, we know that sexuality and feelings and emotions and behaviors are just so deeply rooted, and they're connected to our core being
mm-hmm.
As in the way that God has made us, and it's central. And I think an incredibly difficult journey in overcoming, and I know without question it's possible because
yeah.
I think, I look, I recognize, I consider the person I am today mm-hmm. as a 40, 41-year-old evangelical conservative, heterosexual Christian woman, mm-hmm. who is, by the way, accepting proposals. I'm single at this point. Definitely.
And especially, did I hear that if we have any redheaded Scottish
yes.
types in the listenership,
yes.
that they would get special consideration?
The movie Braveheart changed my life. So something about Scotsmen and Irishmen, yeah. and I honestly, it's something about redheaded men that... my heart does go pitter-patter, so
yeah, okay.
I definitely am accepting proposals. And so, again, to think of who I am today and compare that to 20 years ago mm-hmm. and who I used to be,
yeah.
and I don't need anyone's validation. I know what the beautiful Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father and the power of the Holy Spirit's done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who I am today versus who I used to be, and
right.
it's a radical 180.
right. Praise God.
Is there a problem or a strong sense of a fear of rejection if somebody with same gender issues would go to a church to reach out for help?
Yeah, Mike, I so appreciate your questions, and where the grace, the church really needs to be so graciously postured, because for a lot of men and women with this struggle, there is what we call that root of rejection.
Right.
And you just assume.
You almost anticipate it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That people, because you've experienced it so much in your life, you just mm-hmm. assume, well, mm-hmm. this is, there must be something about me that causes people to reject me. Mm-hmm. And that the church, even more so, reaching out with grace toward men and women with this struggle, because mm-hmm. there is that preconceived idea that these people will reject me mm-hmm. and refuse me. And I think of three individuals in particular in my life, and they accepted me where I was, loved me unconditionally, prayed for me fervently, mm-hmm. and it was their grace and their mm-hmm. unconditional love that, mm-hmm. that was life-transforming, literally.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I can take responsibility for some of how I've co-created that rejection in my past.
Good
you
point.
Know, I mean, I've been naive. I've cast my pearls before swines and shared my stories in places where people were maybe unaware, unable, and unwilling in their own right to understand my problem. So, not using the prudence, and so maybe even subconsciously sabotaging my process and keeping that whole self-perpetuating cycle going. So I think we have to be responsible, you know, as people dealing
well
with this,
said.
That, you know, hey, rejection's always going to be out there for everyone. Doesn't matter what you struggle with. You got to be responsible and be prudent with how you go forward. And that's why we're so thankful for organizations like Love One Out and Focus, who are putting their resources out there and readily available, just a phone call away. You can call 1-800-A-FAMILY, and you know, you can reach Focus's staff of probably hundreds of counselors ready to help you out. So, you know, I want to kind of go back to some of the issues that we talked about a little bit, I think, in the last show. People struggle with different things around this, as you've alluded to. And their problems manifest differently. And Mike, you know, we've had shows about different topics, but one that we've never really covered very thoroughly is this issue of masturbation and the prevailing or the growing problem of sexual addiction amongst women, which, mm-hmm. you know, to a lot of us guys, we're thinking, no way, you know. But it is growing. What do you know about that? And how can you talk to us about how those types of things behaviorally factor into the problem?
And there definitely is an increase, and as we're reading the research and the studies with the internet now, mm-hmm. you know, 15 years ago, a woman more than likely would never go into an adult bookstore mm-hmm. or buy a magazine in a 7-Eleven, but now so readily available mm-hmm. is the internet. And so we're aware that there's an increasing addiction for women with this struggle. And I mean, I'll share vulnerably in my own life that mm-hmm. the issues related to masturbation were some of the most deeply rooted that mm-hmm. took the longest to overcome in my own journey.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, having to work through, again, we keep talking about contributing factors and root issues, but mm-hmm. that's a piece of this proverbial puzzle. You know, the whys.
Mm-hmm.
Why was I going to that emotionally and beginning to work through that?
Right.
Well, we know there's a physical component, too, and that there are chemical releases in the brain and mm-hmm. endorphins and things like that. And so trying to understand it biologically, what's happening here?
Right.
Trying to work through what's the genuine need? What's my legitimate need
mm-hmm.
that I'm trying to meet in a counterfeit way.
What would you say to the woman or man who says, hey, I don't see anything wrong with masturbation, there's nothing specific in the Bible about it.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, that's a good point to bring up, because there are conflicting views, we know, within right. Christendom. Right. And I like how some teachers I've heard speak on this, that, you know, for them, that if it was a hindrance in their relationship with Jesus Christ, then it was an area of sin for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, trying to be vulnerable and not crass, I know there have been times in my life when it was simply a physical release.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when I had fantasy involved, and it was an emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
And to some degree, different animals. Regardless, for me, either way, I didn't want that to be a life-dominating behavior in my
right.
life.
Right.
And I mean, I was acting out several times a day, especially
right.
as a young person. And, you know, like anything else, I mean, I was addicted to women, and I smoked a pack and a half of cigarettes a day and abused alcohol almost on a daily basis and did drugs on the weekends. So, you know, all of these life-dominating addictive behaviors in my life, it was that progression as God continued to heal the inner wounds, and contributing factors continued to mature and strengthen me in the grace available through His Holy Spirit, practical accountability. I mean, all of the good components working together, that over time, weeks, months, literally years of then beginning to have infrequent victory, and now, thankfully, maybe we could say life-dominating victory. I've never used that languaging before, but mm-hmm. now to have, you know, life-dominating victory in, right. in each of those areas because of His grace.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah, and Paul writes that we're not to let anything master us, not the physical urges for sex or
mm-hmm.
anything like that. But, you know, I've never heard a Christian say, I had a really great time having sex with myself last night.
Right.
But I've heard many Christians say, I felt shamed, I felt empty, yes. there was something that was missing afterwards.
Right, yeah. And, you know, I don't talk about it so much as, you know, that it's right or wrong. I think that there is an element of that, but more importantly, that it's harmful. It's something that's harmful. It perpetuates a self-focus, you know, a focus on yourself. It takes something that God intended to be used between two people, and it changes that context drastically. And so it perpetuates the problem as well. I mean, if you are, as you kind of talked about, Melissa, fantasizing especially,
yes.
or if you've had a history of fantasizing, look, you've created some neurological pathways in the structure, the physical structure of your brain. This is what Scripture talks about when it mm-hmm. says, those who sin sexually sin against their own body. You're changing the physical structure of your brain at the neurological level through a process of conditioning that basically, you know, your brain glues to these images. So it's no wonder that, you know, a woman can be attracted to another woman. It's no wonder that a man can be attracted to another man. We're only one chromosome away from each other. Okay, so listen, we're about out of time, but Melissa, any final thoughts that you want to just say to the listener, maybe who has come from a very similar place to you that's out there today?
There's absolutely hope in Jesus yeah. Christ, and no matter what our addiction, or particularly sexual addictions, mm-hmm. that tonight not quit the good fight, but mm-hmm. continue to reach out for Christ and people who can help and resources. Give yourself much grace,
yes.
and be encouraged that if you continue to yield to the Lordship of Christ and all the helps that He makes available, your life can be radically different.
Amen.
Next week, next month, a year from now, a mm-hmm. decade from now, and immeasurably more than we could ever hope or imagined.
Amen. Well, thanks for being with us, Melissa.
Thank you all so much.
You bet. Mike, you've got some exciting news and a conference coming up. Why don't you fill us in?
On May 10th, here in Colorado Springs, we're having a conference called From Porn to Grace.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be held at Fellowship Bible Church. And we'll be dealing with the issues on how to break free from sexual addiction, how wives can heal, and what the church can do to resolve the issue or to deal with it.
Awesome. And of course, you can get more information about that at blazinggrace.org. Tell us about South Africa.
We're there May 2nd.
Hey.
So those of you in South Africa, hello, and we're glad to have you, and send us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you tune in, then we'd like to say in advance, bye a donkey. which, as you know, means thank you. So listen, we want to let you know that, of course, if you haven't registered already, you're still welcome at the first ever, hopefully annual, possibly last, Healing for the Soul therapeutic retreat called Celebrating Relationships, where we're going to get folks together from all across the country, talk about relationships, and it's here in Colorado Springs. For more information and to register, you can go to healingforthesoul.org to the Services tab and click on Retreat for a brochure. We'd love to have you. So tune in next time. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Blazing Grace Show. We trust today's broadcast helps bring you closer to God and to what God desires for your life. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported mission intended to help listeners around the world. Your support is vital in keeping that mission alive. We ask you to prayerfully consider sending a tax-deductible gift to Blazing Grace. It would be gratefully appreciated. You can send your monetary gift to Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 625. 521 Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962-2521. That's Blazing Grace, P.O. Box 62521, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80962-2521. Want to learn more about Blazing Grace? Find us on the internet at www.blazinggrace.org. That's www.blazinggrace.org/radio.htm. On that page, you'll find a downloadable copy of this show, or you can visit oneplace.com under Ministries. Look for Blazing Grace Radio. If you want help resolving a sexual addiction, you can reach Jason Graves toll-free by dialing 877-590-SOUL. That's 877-590-7685. In addition to Jason Graves counseling, Mike Chenung has a book out. Mike Chenung's book, The Road to Grace, Finding True Freedom from the Bondage of Sexual Addiction, is available at www.roadtograce.com. The book guides those who struggle with sexual addiction to a place of finding the abundant life of Christ. There are also sections for wives and recovery for marriage. Desire for a specific subject to be covered on Blazing Grace? Tell Mike Chenung what you want covered. You can email Mike at mike@blazinggrace.org. We look forward to sharing more blazing issues and grace-filled answers next time. Thanks once again for listening, and may God shine His grace upon you.